Tonight, I want you to turn with me to the third chapter of John. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should have eternal life and should not perish. I heard about a little boy who went to school for the first day. "How much did you learn?" his mother asked him when he came back. He said, "Not enough. I have to go back tomorrow." Did you ever wish that you could be starting all over again? Have a fresh start? Some of you are hurting. Some of you are ready to give up. And sometimes if you read all that's being written today and watch on the television, you wonder if our world is going to survive. God is reaching his hand out to you tonight to give you that assurance and that comfort that you need. Now, Jesus said it's possible to live a new life and start over again with all the mistakes and the failures and the sins behind you. That's why he said, you must be born again. We're living in a revolutionary and changing world. My, how it's changing. None of us will ever be the same. Look at all the fear that's been generated in the last day or two from this anthrax problem. People are afraid. I read one of the news magazines today, and when I got through reading it, I really felt that, humanly speaking, there's just no hope. There are too many things happening at the same time and so fast. I watched the president's news session yesterday, and you could see on the faces of the people that were asking him the question. They were serious. An economist speaking some time ago in London said, we need a new birth. And this is what Jesus said. He said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. And Nicodemus was a great man. He was a theologian. He was a member of the Sanhedrin, the ruling party of the Jews. And he came to Jesus by night asking some spiritual questions. And Jesus told him, Nicodemus, you must be born again. I heard about a 10-year-old boy that was writing a paper on birth. And he went to his mother and he said, Mother, how was I born? She said, the stork brought you. Then he asked, how were you born? She said, the stork brought me. Then he went to his grandmother and he said, Grandmother, how were you born? Said, the stork brought me. He started his paper this way. There hasn't been a natural birth in our family in several generations. Jesus said, you must be born again. That stunned Nicodemus, the great religious leader. But you know, Nicodemus, with all of his theology, with all of his power, had a void in his heart. He wasn't satisfied. He had an emptiness. He felt there was something more than what he had. He had tithed his money. He had went to the temple 3 times a day to pray. He was a very religious man and a very devout man. And he heard Jesus, and he felt that maybe Jesus would have something that would help him. And he had a talk with Jesus. And Jesus said on that occasion, "You must be born again." Now, why did Jesus say that? He said it because he knew what was inside man and every woman. What causes lying and cheating, social inequality, hate, prejudice? What causes it? Something down underneath in all of us. It's called sin. Jesus said, "For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man." Psychologists and sociologists realize that there's something wrong with us, but they don't know what it is. They're divided over what the problem is. The Bible always describes the disease that we have as a free act of an intelligent, moral, responsible being, asserting himself against the will of his maker. And that's us, all of us. I saw a cartoon recently that said, "Conscience is email your head gets from God." And you know, there's a lot of truth in that. There are many words used in the New Testament to describe sin. One is transgression, the breaking of the moral law. The moral law is the Ten Commandments, and it's explained by Jesus in his Sermon on the Mount. Jesus explained that the Ten Commandments was not only the outward things that we do, but it's also the inward things that we have. He said that if you have anger, anger can lead to worse sins such as murder. Sin is a transgression of the law, the scripture says in 1 John 3:41. Then secondly, it's missing a mark. All unrighteousness is sin. Everything that you do that is not righteous is sin. And then the Bible says there's the iniquity. It's a turning aside from the straight path. All we like sheep have gone astray and have turned everyone to his own way. We're like sheep. We've gone astray. You've gone your own way. You didn't want God to tell you what to do. You didn't want the Bible to tell you. You can rule your own life. Do what you please. It's very interesting to me to read in the paper that since September the 11th, church attendance is way up. Not only in this country, but other countries as well. The Bible teaches that our spirit, our soul, is dead toward God. "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned." A radical change is needed by everyone. Yes, sir. To find complete fulfillment in this life and be acceptable to God in the future life. What is the new birth? Nicodemus asked what it means. He raised the question, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he go back into his mother's womb and be born? He wanted to understand it. There are some things that there's a mystery to it. And there's a mystery to the new birth, because a new birth is accomplished by the Holy Spirit, who comes into your heart and transforms you as you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. To be born again means, in Ezekiel 36, "The new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you." In Acts, Peter called it repenting and being converted. Have you repented and been converted? Oh, you say, "I belong to the church. I've been baptized. I've been confirmed. I've led a fairly decent life." But Jesus said that's not enough, because Nicodemus brought up all those things that he was, and he was better than almost anyone here. And yet Jesus said it's not enough. In Romans, Paul speaks of it as being alive from the dead. In 2 Corinthians, he calls it being a new creation. Old things have passed away and all things have become new, he said in Corinthians. To the Ephesians, he called it quickening, or being made alive from the dead. In Peter, it says being made partakers of the divine nature. Think of it, being a partaker of God's very nature when you come to Christ as your Lord and Savior. Jesus called it passing from death unto life. How is it accomplished, the new birth? It's a mystery. Jesus said the wind blows where it listeth, but you can't tell where it came from or where it's going. There's a mystery to the wind. I can see the results of the wind, but I can't see the wind. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It pleased God by the preaching of, by the foolishness of preaching, to save them that believe. Doesn't it sound foolish for me to stand up here and speak to you, and your life could be changed forever, and you would have a whole new home in eternity? And the Holy Spirit can accomplish that tonight, right now. And after you've come to Christ, you don't have to live the Christian life by yourself. The Holy Spirit is there to live it through you and in you, because he indwells you from that moment on. Know ye not that you're the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you, the scripture says? You can't work your way to heaven. You can't buy your way. Jesus has already done all of that on the cross. He took our sins on that cross, and God laid on him the iniquity of us all. And when God looks at us, he looks at us through the blood of Jesus. And we're going to stand before God someday clothed in the righteousness of God that Jesus purchased on the cross. I'm going to ask you tonight, are you sure about your relationship with God? Are you certain that your sins are forgiven? Are you sure if you died, you'd go to heaven? You know, I was in the hospital a great deal last year. I think about 16 weeks in all. And one night after one of the operations, I knew that I was dying. At least I felt I was. And all of a sudden, I began to think of all the disobedience that I'd done to my father and my mother, and all the things in my life that I had done and could have done better. And then I looked up. I was in a Catholic hospital, and there was a cross on the wall. And I looked up at that wall, and I saw the cross, and I thought of Jesus dying on that cross, and I yielded myself anew and rededicated my life to the Lord. And I had the greatest peace I've ever had in my life. And I still have it tonight. And you can have the same thing. What do you have to do? Open your heart to Jesus. By faith, you receive him and accept what he did on the cross, and he was raised from the dead for your justification. I'm going to ask all of you tonight, hundreds of you, come and stand in front of this platform and say, by coming, I open my heart to Jesus in a new way.